Welcome everybody to the show. I don't really have an opening anymore. Had something, but I think like the sheer gloominess of the weather outside just kind of like sapped it away from me.
Yeah, this is one of those take cover kind of, you get that instinctual
take cover, incoming water.
You see the wind waving through the grass, and
it's ominous. That's the best way to put it.
Something's coming.
Yeah,
take cover.
Yeah, you know what? I think I know that the most common small talk is to like, you know, just say, oh, nice weather we're having, and then like for some reason drone on about 10 minutes on that, but I think we need to be more descriptive. You know what I mean? I think we need to like go into full-on sonnets about how nice it is and like be apocalyptic when it's not.
When it's dark.
Like, this is probably going to turn to a swirling vortex of rain and thunder, and maybe there's going to be a tropical storm. I don't know. I think that's happening in some part of the nation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, see? There we go. Interest has just been perked. Okay, all right. How you been?
I've been good.
You want to update us on anything?
I don't know.
If this is like a recurring segment.
A recurring segment. The girl that I was, that seemed promising, not around anymore.
Yeah, that didn't happen for too long.
Yeah, I mean, to go on a date or two with somebody is one thing, but I was seeing this girl for a little over a month, and it was kind of nice.
Well, like, what's like the proper dating time frame? You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Like, how often, how soon after your first date do you need to go on the second one?
It depends. I mean, it's your two people who are independently minded, and if you want,
I know everyone's got different opinions on it, but I feel like
crazy
it's like,
and want to go and see each other
the next day,
10 minutes later. Yeah, I mean, but I would say if you're trying to.
If it's more than just, like, a fling or something.
It depends, too, like, on what your lives are like. Like, if you're seeing each other on the weekend or something, maybe you want to try and hang out the next weekend. Or maybe you want
to... I was going to say the most that I was going to go is, like, 2 weekends away for 2 weeks away from the first date is, like, the most you should go for a second one.
Yeah.
Because it feels like, okay, well, you may have something planned next week, but 2 weeks from now, come on.
Yeah, come on. You should be able to make it. One cool thing to do is plan like a see because I don't think you want to invest your whole night in a date if you're not sure it's gonna go well.
Yeah, well, yeah.
So it's like Saturday night, like.
Well, you got to plan something that just reaches across the table for everyone.
You want to have a
who
convenient,
hates movies.
You want to have a convenient exit. Well, movies are for me, I want to be able to size this person up, talk to them.
Well, who's going to say
it's
no
like
to
an interview.
Dinner, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Dinner's
good. I mean, aside from the whole initial, is she going to say yes or no? Like, who's gonna reject dinner of all things?
What I think is great is coffee or, like, Italian ices or something that's lighter. Like,
I would go with the coffee over Italian ices.
Well, now it's summer, so you gotta mix it up.
I get that.
But you know what
I mean?
Like, something not, you don't wanna make... You don't want it to be too much of a commitment for yourself or for the other person, because...
If you find out they're weird, you can just jet.
Yeah, I mean, well, you can endure any person for a small amount of time. So,
it's the right way of putting it.
It's like a sample. It's like a taste. Like, can I try this flavor? Like, let's go on this date. I'll hang out with you for an hour, for a half hour. If it goes well, maybe... It's flexible. If it doesn't, if I don't think it's going well, I'll be like, well, you know, I'll say, well, you know, let's meet on a Wednesday night, but I have to wake up tomorrow. But like, I really want to meet you. So let's
make it
meet.
So that your
and
schedule
then,
is jam packed.
Yeah. So then if it's not going well, you can just say, yeah, I really have to wake up tomorrow. But like, it was so nice to meet you. And it's just coffee. And the most you spend is like, whatever, $10 or something.
Hmm.
Versus like going to dinner and then you're kind of there. like guaranteed for.
You know what? I wish I knew that. I wish I had that mindset back in high school, because I went. I remember going on a date with this girl. It was like first date. I knew her semi well. We would just kind of like meet up in the mornings. And I said, "Do you want to go out sometime? We'll go to dinner and then bowling, because it was like right across the street from each other."
Right.
We went to the dinner place, the restaurant. I forget which one it was. And I remember, like, the small talk was terrible. Yeah. Like, we were not able to hold a conversation with each other. And I'm like, you know what, this is just bad. But you know what, I'm here. May as well just go ahead with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I want to say, like, the best way of describing it is, like, we like, persist through dinner.
Yeah.
We just kind of manage through it.
Yeah.
And we do the bowling thing, and it was fun. We met up with her friends afterwards, and it was just all right. I don't even think about it that much, because I'm just like, oh, I didn't date much in high school. But I remember, like, okay, well, yeah, I remember doing that, and then that, and then that.
I never had a really bad dating experience, or like a nightmare situation, but
no, I've never had a nightmare one. It was just kind of like awkward.
It's always what happens more often than not is that it's a lukewarm situation, and I don't really, maybe I'm just going, maybe I've just been setting up dates because it's something to do, and then this person is like not really what I'm looking for, so I'm not so into it, and well, they're like probably not so into me, and it's just like we respect each other, we like certain things about each other, we're probably not going to date each other, it was nice to meet you.
Well, I think I think a date should definitely be like centered around, are you going to enjoy yourself regardless? Okay. Are you going to enjoy yourself with the other person? That's what you test.
That's a good point. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's like, if it's something that is going to be enjoyable no matter what, like, that's going to leave a good impression.
And you can be very good with words and your and message if you're meeting
through, if you enhance it, then it's a good date.
A dating site or something. But yeah, not everybody's good at small talk or meeting somebody for the first time. A lot of people, it takes them
time
to warm up.
But if you're thinking, that you have to, like, make it so that you have to entertain the other person, then it's not going to be a good relationship after that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, okay, bowling is fun, but if you are taking responsibility to make sure that they're having fun, imagine doing that for the next few years.
Well,
imagine doing that for, like, the rest of the year.
I think it's a burden that you have to split. You don't, I mean, it's not like you have to be like Mr. Fun Pants all the time, but you want to sometimes have things, right? I don't know.
No, like, I mean, you want to show that you can like make their life better and they'll make yours better. But like, if it definitely seems more like you're the one taking responsibility for this.
Yeah. I mean,
that's a good tester.
There were, when I was seeing this girl, we would see each other. We had an off schedule, so we'd be up 3-4 in the morning. We'd be wide awake because that's when we were working. And then in the, you know, 10 in the morning, we'd be dead asleep. It's kind of like that. So, but there'd be things that we'd want to do. And
there's
got to
be like a subsection of people for you, like the night owls or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, but I don't think it's that many people, or they're not really.
The Twilight Walkers.
I don't know. Yeah.
The Dusk Shamblers. Any one of those could probably be a gang.
The Shamblers.
The Dusk Shamblers.
They're not zombies.
Are you, though?
But,
are you, though?
I picked up a collaborative, she actually gave this to me, a collaborative note posting. You know how you have, like, websites where you can make notes to yourself, memos and things, and keep them posted?
Okay, so this is shared between whoever has
the, like...
So this
is, like, a collaborative one, like a Google Docs of notes, and you can just create notes, like... And so we made categories like food, this, that, this, you know, movies, things we wanted to go do in life. So I could post stuff and she could post stuff and we could pick stuff from our to-do list.
The fuck is wrong with Facebook?
I don't know. I don't use Facebook. But why? Is it like that?
No, it's not like that. But I'm just like, whatever happened to just having a conversation?
Oh, no. Well, it was like, imagine you're, like, I know I'm going to see you Saturday. What do you want to do? I don't know. Like, last Saturday, we just ordered takeout and
watched. Oh, you know what you should do?
Bed.
Classy,
like,
move? If she still has the link, you should just kind of, like, clear the notes and just kind of, like, leave, like, a giant, like, it was fun. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sort of like a good, you know what? It was fun, but I respect you note.
She kind of, I don't know. She wrote me a very nice thing, and was she's just, we talked, too.
Well, don't make it, I'm not saying, like, make it, like, sound needy or anything. You know, oh my god, I will always cherish the time that we had. Yeah, don't fucking be that person.
Nah, I'm fine. I mean, I'm good. It was not that long of a time, so I wasn't...
I wasn't saying you don't be that person. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, generally, to anyone who's listening, don't fucking be that person!
I wasn't so invested. It was just kind of sad. Like, she had been seeing someone else more seriously before this relationship. Before we started dating, she had been seeing someone, like a lifelong person that she's known, and he kind of bailed on her and left her, you know, I guess worried that every guy is maybe going to bail on her, and very guarded with her feelings, and just still kind of...
Oh, you damaged mentally, people.
Like, occupied. He's occupying her, you know, mental space, so...
It's a shame. Ready, yeah. It's a shame.
It's like, I feel like she was just, you know, I remember breaking up with someone who was a serious girlfriend, and like, it helps to go out and just see other people, but even if you're not ready to,
mm-hmm.
which sucks for the other person when you like them, and they like you, and it's...
it's a dick move.
It kind of is.
Don't put yourself out there. It's
but
a dick move.
I saw that she...
no one really knows when they're ready to get serious, but it's like, for Christ's sakes... Like, just being happy first.
This was pretty... I didn't realize how soon it was after... It was, like, a couple months after a relationship that was a couple years. So, anyway.
There's got to be a formula.
She pulled her profile on OkCupid, and it's probably taking some time.
Good! Holy crap! That is, like, the most responsible move after that.
Yeah.
At least don't carry that on to the next person, because if that... Like, if for some reason... The next person she met on OkCupid, it worked out. You were going to feel like the biggest piece of shit.
Yeah, exactly. That was like my whole like.
I didn't think I was serious, but you know now I am.
Holy, what? You just weren't good enough.
Yeah,
but this guy. That was like my like. Oh god,
you're cute. You're just not that like, cute.
Nah, but that's you can't think like that.
Mm. Well, I mean, like if I mean, would you have? Did you get to that point where you would imagine yourself having kids with them?
No. After a month of dating her, not really.
I don't know. The mind is a vast place.
I'm not so into having kids, and I don't think she was either. So
would you know how it's done? Would you know how it's done?
Yeah, we figured that part out.
Are you sure? Do you need diagrams?
Oh my god, what is this?
Segueing into our first news story, there is a vintage How a Baby is Made book made by a Danish artist, and it is freaking the hell out of people. Like, it's from 1975, so it's already, like, a strange time when it comes to, like, educating kids.
To be fair, it's Danish, so people in other countries are different.
But, like, the art is just weird. The artist is strange. Like,
I mean... It's a little...
Yeah.
Weird.
No, it's very like look at that. Okay. This is the most
there's a baby being
there is a baby
cresting
like the arms are just kind of like hello world.
Yeah, the head is out. It's
the head
and the arms are somehow also out like
you're just seeing like the father there just kind of like just there. That's it. People there are just like there. It's like awkwardly seeing people just standing in a formation. It's just like the dad is there, the woman's lying on the table, all you see is like the view from the baby would be popping out. And then there's the doctor just kinda like looking over too. And they look creepily happy.
I guess it's I have to say it explains it without lying to you. It just looks a little the illustrations could maybe be
Is this something a kid needs to see though?
Less weird. I don't know.
Like, I remember knowing how puberty and how the female reproductive system worked back in sixth grade, because we had those very forced health segments on it. And then I think in ninth grade, we saw the actual, like, video of it. And I remember it was like I'm not ready for this. I'm not fucking ready for this. To anyone that insists on having their first kid's birth being video recorded... Don't. Because all you need to see is that video, and then you'll realize how terrible it looks.
I think it's like to teach kids. I don't know. This book, it doesn't get so crazy. I mean, it kind of just shows the mechanics of how it happens.
Yeah.
I guess, I think in America, we're very repressed.
No, I'm not going to make the argument and say, like, Europe, it's sexuality is bad.
Different. Yeah.
I'm not going to do that. But it's like, well, do they need to know?
I mean, everyone needs to know at some point.
I know, at some point, but it's like...
It's kind of like saying, like, should we... Like, I feel like, when is...
This feels like something... Like, I'm going to try...
Should you only learn about how to have kids when...
You're ready?
Society thinks it's suitable for you to have them? Because then we shouldn't... You know, like people are mad that we teach kids about sex when they're teenagers. Because they're like, now... They know how to do it, and they're going to go, you know, well, or something.
But I mean, like, at least that's, like, you got the parts working. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, this is a kid's book. It's, like, for five-year-olds.
Well, it's, yeah, I think it...
Like, let them fucking believe in the stork for, like, a couple more years. Maybe it's a little in-depth,
but...
It's a little in-depth, as much as, like, MS Paint drawings could possibly go.
Like, you don't have to lie to kids. You can just say,
no, you don't have to lie.
You can, you don't have to, there's ways actually, to be tactful never, and not lie.
Actually, I never understood why we had to lie about that in the first place.
Yeah.
Like,
well, because...
Oh, the stork comes. Why not just say it came out of the mother? Like, you can clearly see the giant baby bump.
Yeah.
Yeah, right?
I don't know.
And then you get, like, the comical, like, situation, like, oh my god, she ate my brother! Like, no, it's not... Stop being a dumb kid, you dumb kid. You friggin' kid. That hasn't already been said. Except for, okay, well, fucking this happened. And the book sells on, like, Amazon or eBay for, like, $600.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because I guess people like to just look at things that just look weird.
It's from 1975, and I guess it's become, something.
A collector's item?
I guess so.
I remember, like, seeing videos, just kind of like in my spare time to see like how Disney explained it, you know what I mean? Because I think there was like a, it looked like Schoolhouse Rock-esque drawings, explaining like homosexuality.
I remember going to...
No, wait, it was definitely how sexuality is. And like there was like, yeah, ducks do it too. This is called bestiality. Like, oh my fucking god.
There's some feature at Epcot or Disney or one of those. And
is it the making of you?
Yeah.
I think they took
and
that.
And there's like a sperm.
Yes, I remember thinking about that around. Like months ago. This is like vivid for me. I was like, what was the name of that movie where like the sperms are like Disney and like they're racing to get to the egg? And then I heard, oh, they took it out because I guess it was just too.
It was a little
too surreal.
It was a little weird, but it wasn't uncomfortable. I don't think it wasn't uncomfortable for me to watch with like my mom or something.
I think if it's got the Disney stamp of approval, I think we're good. You know what I mean? Like, has Disney done anything terrible?
Yes, everything.
Okay, all right.
Well,
I mean, through animation, not through what actually was.
There's a lot of arguments. I mean, I don't know. There are, though. You know this?
No, yeah, of course.
There's arguments about the way they portray women or the way they portray...
Okay, yeah, fair enough.
There's a lot of...
The women and minorities.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember seeing that, like, Jim Crow.
Minorities.
Holy shit.
And,
wait, no, was Jim Crow Looney Tunes or was it Disney? No, it was Disney. Yeah, you're right.
The Tar Baby
cartoons. Yeah, there was, like, a giant... There was, like, a giant one. Rabbit. Where it was just, like... They got, like, the black characters with, like, the lips. Like, that's the most distinguishing thing, like, to know you're being racist.
I had them. Everybody had it, though. Like, Looney Tunes had it, not just Disney.
Yeah.
Like, it was just it was acceptable at the time, so it was done. And now it's not, so it's not done.
Yeah.
I actually saw a Reddit post about a bottle of shampoo today. And on the bottle is I guess it's a man pretending to be a black woman. And so he's got, like, a wig on, and he's got blackface on.
Oh, my God.
With his lips not in blackface.
Why wouldn't you just find a
fucking... But apparently, and it's from Brazil. This is a Brazilian shampoo, and it's for black hair. So how this is explained is there's, a comedy sort of like SNL or it's like a comedy troupe, and they portray different characters, and this is one of the characters that's made popular on the show. So it's being used to advertise, like, as the mascot of the, you know, just like you'd have Tony the Tiger on your Frosted Flakes. This is like, this bottle has this character on it, and this bottle has this character on it, and this is one of the characters. So they put the blackface character on the black hair shampoo. But, and then, and everybody is saying on there, everybody from other countries are like, blackface is not really offensive in our country. It's just America.
Yeah, it's like how there's like these super fucking tanned Japanese women.
Oh yeah.
And they got like the bleached blonde hair.
I haven't seen this. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like it looks offensive. I think it's called like Gangoro or something. It looks offensive, and it's just like, no, this is just what we have here. They look blackish, but they're not making fun of them.
Yeah, it's very much like I think how it works in the U.S. There's this history where there were black jazz musicians, guys that made their money making music who were black, and to kind of steal their business, white people painted themselves black and played music, and so this was seen as like overtly like stealing their livelihood and their business,
right?
And then later it became like more of,
then it went into film.
We're making fun of your features and your physical appearance,
yeah,
because I think dressing this way and then acting dumb or something.
Yeah, I think it was kind of like it was fueled by like post plantation mindsets, especially since like during Reconstruction. Like, I remember this was like the most shocking thing to me when I found out.
You remember Reconstruction?
No. The most shocking thing in history class that I found out, wait a minute, they still had, what was it called? Sharecropping?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like, they basically re-enslaved them. Like, they paid them just enough so that they couldn't afford rent on the X plantations. So they like extended them a line of credit. And if they ever tried to leave, it's just like, all right, pay me back the $500 you owe me.
Mm-hmm.
You don't pay me enough for that unless I like went without food.
Yeah, like you're basically like they were free, enslaved by rent.
Yeah, it was exactly
it's
that.
It's like living in Manhattan.
And I'm like, holy shit, how why?
I mean, it's for sure, like, there are people today.
Like, because that mindset persisted, and just like, how about if we put that in film? And I remember, like, seeing a Key and Peele sketch about this black actor they were giving a eulogy for. Like, I found out he was an actor. And, you know what? I thought I would just play this film reel, this demo reel of it. And it's just like, he was playing all the negative stereotypes, like, who ate my pie? And he's kind of like, rises up from the bushes with, like, berries all over his face. Just kind of like, I don't know who stole your pie, master. Oh my fucking God. Like, I mean, the sketch played out how you thought it would. But it was like, wow. Man, you never really like forget that kind of shit.
Yeah, it's just.
I mean, did you see the mockumentary about how if the South won the Civil War, how different it would be?
No, I didn't see this.
I forget what the hell it was called. So I apologize to anyone out there. I'll probably like research and put it in the description when this is posted. But it brought up a lot of commercials, like, if racial stereotypes were still allowed from, like, the 1900s, like, from really early on. Like, oh, if you're a slave escaped, here, use this shock collar. Or, like, they said something like a hair polish or something, it's just like, it's jigaboo bright, and I'm like, wow.
It's like, did you ever see, what is it? Coming to America or whatever with Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, I remember
he's like
that.
The African prince who comes to New York City.
I swear to God, when I had a roommate all the way from Cameroon, my family kept insisting that I see that movie. I'm
you
like,
you should see it. Did you see it?
I did see it, but I'm like, I've funny. Seen it, and you can't keep doing that.
Well, there's this part where they're looking at there's TVs in like a store window or something, and it's for some kind of like Jerry Curl product. Called like it's like Let Your Soul Shine Through, you know, or something, and it's so yeah. I don't know, but yeah, I mean, man, there's racial stereotypes. They
well
exist.
The reason that I bring up the mockumentary was
for
because
everyone.
When even though we laughed, it's just kind of like, oh my God, it would look so much different if we allowed slavery to keep going and we still had all this, like, I mean, there is still institutionalized racism, but, like, it's not legal, it's just kind of like, well, we still think this way.
Yeah, it's not something that people, I'm sure,
it's not legal to enforce.
The majority of racism, though, is not, probably something that people are intentionally, like,
Yeah, exactly.
Intentionally exactly. Doing. It's something that...
It's something that's been longstanding, and it's just kind of infiltrated our mindset.
Yeah.
Yeah. But the reason I bring it up was because even though, like, all the commercials seemed fake and some were, like, outrageous, they brought up all the ways that, like, racism was alive well into basically almost modern times. Like, there was a cigarette brand called Nigger Hair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like, they changed, like, fairly recently. I don't have the exact date, but it was just, like, well after you think that should go on.
There's some, I've seen a progression where... They have a toothpaste brand, and it's got a black man. He looks terrifying, first of all. He's smiling like he's about to bite your head off. I mean, it's huge, wide open. His teeth are like half his face, and his eyes are really wide, and he's looking at you like, "Hur!" And he's got a top hat on, and it's toothpaste, and it's called like Blackie or something like that. And then...
That's just incredibly overt.
And then the next, I mean, it's just, then they have a, or what is it, Darkie. It's called Darkie, the toothpaste.
Yes, yes, now I remember that.
And then they have a transitional box, the next box they show, and it says, and it's still got this guy on it, caricature kind of black guy, and it says, Darkie is now going to be called Darlie or something. And then
eventually turned into Colgate.
Then the next box, just says Darlie, and it's now just a white guy in a top hat smiling, and it's totally scrubbed of its racial.
Wow, that's
because times were changing, so they changed the brand to not have that.
Yeah, moral of the story: racism is alive and well. Just you got to look harder to see it now. No, you don't even have to look harder. Know. There's the fucking shooting at Charleston! Jesus!
Meh.
And that's gonna be a fucking hero, and I'm not gonna talk more about it because, well, this isn't meant to be a political show. It's meant to be a talk show. Sometimes about political things.
It's very, I mean, stereotypes are a part of how we adapt
socially.
It's how
we came to be.
Honestly. If I'm on a subway train and somebody gets on the train, like, I'm gonna judge them by... their appearance. I'm not gonna, for sure, like in my mind, cement.
But it's gonna be judged on the appearance and also what stereotypes and impressions you've already had of people similarly looking like that.
And you can see, like, man, there's like the dude on the train who's Hispanic, and he's got these crazy jeans that none of my non-Hispanic, you know, it's just this guy who's from a Hispanic neighborhood. He's got these crazy ripped jeans. He's got this hairstyle. It's got like kind of a mullet thing, and he's probably just a regular dude chilling on the train. You know what I mean? But that's his culture. Is like, you know, it's more acceptable to dress like that. If I dressed like that, everybody would make fun of me.
Yeah, that's very true.
But I can't really make fun of him because
you know what neutralizes all like thinking for me when it comes to stereotypes? If I see someone in a suit. Doesn't matter what they look like, or they could, like, be working, like, in street clothes. I wouldn't know, but, like, if they're wearing a suit, it's like, oh, that looks nice. Like, there's no other thought in my mind. I'm very simple-minded when it comes to that.
And it could be, like, you know, there are people that are immigrants that are, they live in America, but they live in a neighborhood that they're kind of immersed in their own, they only speak their language because they're in their neighborhood.
Yeah.
And so they're... You know, the way they portray themselves and the way they... Versus, like, a guy who's grown up in America who wants to live with, like, the general youth culture of America or something, you know? So he's dressing...
There's no other way way to say that without sounding like one of those hip uncles trying to be one of the kids and be part of the youth of America. No, well,
I mean, like, a teenager who grew up in America is different than a teenager who came from, Bolivia or something to come here...
No, I get that. I get that.
I guess. I don't know.
Just try and fitting what's in.
But everybody's a person, and I never really have seen any racism.
Yeah, like we're like
that.
I guess we're kind of getting dragged into this. My personal thing was uh, I I wasn't a racist person. I mean, like, yes, there was, like, that rebellious teen phase where just kind of, like, I made racist jokes. But I never believed it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it's, like, I mean, I admittedly enough, I guess, like, 5 or so years ago, I would, like, openly say, we're living in a post-racial society. And now it's, like, no, that is not the case at all.
Definitely not true, yeah.
Just because, like, I didn't see it where I was.
And I mean, there's
and, still, like, there is still, like, existing things that, like, explain why some people generally in some cultures are in the position that they are now. Or whether it be, like, what are common thoughts about them or where they're living. Like, there's an explanation for everything. There's a reason for everything. So you can't confidently say, yeah, racism's gone. Because, well, we still have some work to do.
I would say at my job, I'm dealing with guys who are mostly immigrants because it's not a, it's like a working class job. So, if you don't speak English, this is one of the jobs available to you. You can drive a car, drive a taxi, or if you speak limited English. So these guys, I would say 10% of them are white, like probably Russian or Slavic. 10% are Asian, more Nepalese than anything else.
I wouldn't even know.
And then
wouldn't even know what that is.
Then like probably 40% are from Africa or something. Or whatever, 30%, if I'm doing the 100% add up right, it's like 10% white, Slavic, 10% Nepalese, Asian, Chinese, 30% from Africa, and then 50% like Bengali from Bangladesh and maybe India.
Oh, stuff all like right.
That. So,
I guess that explains a lot.
And man, they're all different, and they all have their own personalities. But like, there's just stereotypes. Like, I didn't learn these stereotypes; I experienced them. Like, guys that are Bengali will just call you brother and my friend all the time, and brother, please, brother, I need brother, or like.
He explains the hello, stereotype my, hello, with a fucking voice.
Hello, my friend. Like, I need... Yeah. My American friend. I need a... And it's just, for them, it's
you
a way of
I'm
saying...
realizing, even if, like...
Like, if I said to you, hey, man, what's going on, man? Yeah. Listen, man, I need a... You know, and, like, you maybe wouldn't hear man as much as... Because it's, like, a...
You know, the weird stressed. Thing of it is, I'm just realizing, even if it's, like, a positive stereotype, like, that seems very friendly of them. Like,
oh,
brother.
It seems like it, but it... To them, it's like, hey, sir, can I help you, sir? But they pepper it in, like, some guys, literally, it's like the quotation marks of everything they say, and it's weird to, like, if I said to you, hello, my friend, it sticks out to you, right? So,
like, no, I'm saying, even though it's positive, I still can see someone, like, taking it too far and making it, like, offensive.
Yeah. You know what
I mean? Like, I can already see the SNL skit of someone pretending to be Bengali, and then just, like, saying brother in every other
brother?
Word.
And there, I mean, there's this one guy, he comes in, and he's like, he jokes around a lot, and he has like weird, there's like weird things that people in America don't do to...
Yes, duh.
Like if I was gonna roll my eyes, like, you would understand that, but mm-hmm. like, if you like, stuck your tongue out sideways like you were dead and like, bobbled your head around, like, what is that? Like, we don't do that, you know, or... but that's, like, his way of being, like, sarcastic, showing sarcasm or something.
Oh, I would think they were just playing dead.
Like, I'm joking, I'm totally razzing you, like, I'm totally joking.
Oh, fuck.
Like,
okay,
I'm not serious. He'll say, my coworker's name is David, and so he'll just say, oh my god, this man, give me this car, I almost die! Is D for D is for David. D is for dangerous. So dangerous, you know. And he's totally joking around. Like, he's the guy didn't give him a bad car. Like, he's just putting on a show, kind of. And they joke around every morning. But man, you meet some people. I guess.
Yeah, like I, you know what? I'm just noticing. Like, if you're just like looking, if you can see what you did right now, yes, I would. Like, yeah. It takes on a totally different
like, it has nothing,
connotation. But now that you're like listening to this, it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah, you can't see me doing it, which is probably good.
I would get like very tense at that moment. I'd just be like, whoa, Jesus.
Yeah, calm
the fuck
it's
down.
Hard to it's hard to interpret sometimes.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get
if
that.
Somebody's serious or not?
Shall we shift gears?
Sure.
Okay, what do you like more, graveyards or ketchup?
That's a weird. That's like apples and oranges, man.
No, no, it's more like apples and fucking Ferraris. It's like, well, what do you like more?
You can't eat one. The other one's a place you can like go to and experience. It's totally different. Which one do I like more?
Just flip a friggin' coin. Just throw me a bone.
I mean, I have to say,
because ketchup. You know what? What
ketchup?
Yeah, because this would have segued very well if we were still talking about the fucked up kids book.
Right.
Okay. All right. So this guy in Germany scanned a QR code on a bottle of ketchup, Heinz ketchup. And instead of being taken to the website, it went to a porn site called Fundorado. And I did a quick Google search on Fundorado, not for fun, but for work.
I see.
And, like, I just saw, like, the opening words were in German. I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to understand this. It's fine.
Dorado. Like, the city of...
Fundorado.
Like, gold?
Yeah, I guess so.
The lost city of gold?
El Dorado? You can make a porn title out of anything, though. Come on.
Fun paradise? I guess.
Yeah.
Wait, so what does this have to do with graveyards?
No. There was going to be the other story.
Oh, these are two different... So these ketchup and graveyards aren't linked in a story.
They are not linked in any way. It's just like a fork in the road. So, just figures. Like, the one person that actually scans a QR code gets taken to a porn site instead of ketchup.
Wow. Is this on all the bottles? Or did his QR code just malfunction?
I think it was just like on all the bottles. They found out that the link expired this year in 2015.
Oh, so it used to go to the ketchup thing.
So
it wasn't a mistake.
It wasn't a mistake. I think like Fundorado just purchased the site.
That's interesting. You could theoretically buy some.
Yeah, you could buy ketchup from 2013 right now, I guess from Germany, if you really want like that expensive ketchup taste from abroad. And the QR code would still bring you to Fundorado.
But I'm saying, like, you could, like, let's say Pepsi has a campaign, and they plaster these ads everywhere with these QR codes, and then, like, a bunch of time later, you decide to snap up this domain, or whatever it is, if it's like a Bitly or an Owly, like one of these link shortened things, and you're able to get your hands on it somehow, you can hijack their... they posted a QR code everywhere, and now it's everywhere, and now you can hijack it.
It's like with the XXX domains, you know what I mean? Like, you gotta snatch those up before the people that are in charge of it actually does.
I wonder what happened. There's so
or there was
many...
like a Walmart.goat or something that a webcomic artist bought just to make fun of Walmart. And then Walmart shut that down. wasn't even anything offensive. It was just like Walmart with a picture of a goat in front of it. That's it.
I guess Walmart's a specific... It's not like soda.com or something where...
Actually, does soda.com even like get
Yeah, anything? They sold that for a lot of money.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I feel like that's like movies.com, you know what I mean? It's kind of like, yeah. So you like soda? Yeah.
Yeah, movies.com. Like, I think there was an era when we would try out these domain names when the internet was younger. It was like, does this exist?
Hey, how about porn.com?
Yeah, right.
How about nakedboobies.com?
But now what bothers me is that I feel like things should be recyclable, and I feel like they're just not. For example... Gmail addresses. Somebody somewhere is going to register an address. Like, I want my Gmail address to be two words next to each other, not like eight letters, you know, a bunch of numbers after it and junk. I hate numbers. I just want it to be like, you know, like crispapple@gmail.com. Like, I don't want it to be crispapple82. I hate that.
You know what I mean? You know what?
But eventually, and someone probably had, like, made that their thing, like, 5 years, like, a year ago, and now they haven't used it, and they're not going to use it, and it's just going to be locked up forever.
That is very true.
Like, they should have, like, you haven't been active on your account for 5 years.
Bam.
It becomes eligible again.
I could see that, because we're going to reach a friggin' point where so many of... like domain names and usernames are taken. Like I'm fine. No one's going to take DeanHarrigy@gmail.com.
Yeah.
No one is going to take that. Much to my fiance's dismay, she found out that there are a lot of people with my last name, but I've never met any of them because they're all in like, you know, Mexico.
When Gmail was introduced in the beginning and it was invite only, And you could, like, that's the way they spread it. It was like 50, you got 50 invites.
I thought
invites.
That was Google Plus, though.
That, maybe that too. But
I thought Gmail was just kind of like, yeah, we have like this now.
No, what else was recently like that from them? Something. Anyway, though,
yeah, no, like, do you remember trying to find, like, an appropriate AIM name? Or a screen name for, like, an instant messenger?
I wasn't very appropriate. Well, I was, like, a teenager, so I made stupid ones. But, yeah, they were all, yeah, I had, but I love, whether it's an OkCupid profile, AOL Instant Messenger, Gmail, I love having two words compounded together.
Yeah.
That makes something cool. Because it gives you a visual image, and it's easy to remember, and it doesn't have stupid numbers that, I don't know.
Well, if you do
numbers
anything,
just seem cheesy to me.
If you do anything other than, I think, your birth year or your birth date in numbers, you're doing something very weird, and I don't want to be a part of that.
Yeah, and like
I feel like that's the only acceptable use for number. Like if you just bash numbers on a fucking keyboard, I had my earliest screen name was like it was like for it was like Fishbone. 8:30.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait a fucking
There's
second.
At least three
what
or four numbers at the end, yeah.
Yeah, why the fuck did I pick 8:30? It wasn't 8:30 when I picked it, and my birthday's in fucking
it just
February.
Looked cool.
Right? It just looked cool. And then after that, like, my first actual screen name, like, on AIM Messenger, and I used it for that one, too, was, like, Hawkeye 780. What was my obsession with 8? What the fuck?
Yeah, and eyes.
And, like,
Hawkeye,
multiples of 10.
Fisheye?
No, Fishbone,
oh,
Hawkeye.
Fishbone.
I don't know what
Hawkeye,
the hell I was thinking.
Kowtow. Yeah.
I can see that. But I thought Hawkeye sounded cool. I wasn't even thinking of the fucking superhero at all.
Horse Tongue, 82.
I don't know. It'd probably be like a lightning bolt or something. Yeah. Oh, God, I'm thinking like I'm 12 again. Fuck. I'm just going with my name now, you know?
Well, yeah. But, I mean, I don't know.
Although, then again, I think we've, like, moved past... Like, I could say we haven't... We're not in a post-racial society, but we are in a post-screen name society. If you have those
you need
now,
to have
it's
a,
weird.
You need to have a name places. If you're going to register for Steam, to you need a name. If
you gotta... Yeah, but
you need a screen name. You need a player name. A lot of games you need, or...
But I think it's, like, the same handle that you use for everything, you know
Yeah,
what
you
I mean?
Need a handle.
Like,
yeah.
You don't have, like, 50,000 screen names. You got one.
Well...
Just use it.
Theoretically. I'm not going to talk about my other ones. I think it's... I like to have one name all across the internet as a handle.
Yeah, if I... Like, I've moved past...
For one type of thing. Like...
Like, my main one that I use now is Dean on Fire.
Yeah.
Not... The weird thing of it is, now that I think back on it, I still think that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, like...
Because now it either sounds like the Alicia Keys song where this girl is on fire, like Dean on Fire, so that makes me
but
sad.
But I've used it so long that now it's, like, my... thing. Like, I'd rather be able to go to a website that I've never been to and haven't been to in 2 years and know that this is my handle and this is my password for this site. I don't need to look it up because I know it because it's always this. And it's not like my bank account.
Yeah, no. That
you know, that's where I shift stuff around.
So it's either the Alicia Keys song or it makes me just sound, you know, I'm flaming. Hey! I wanted the mental image for, like, my head to be, like, engulfed in flames. That's the mental image that I wanted you to get.
Really?
It's not probably not happening now, and I'm overthinking it.
I kind of was thinking more of, like, you're on a roll. Like,
oh, yeah, that too. That would be cool, too. It's kind of like, hey, I'm on fire! Hey! But now it's also got the gang connotation, so if anyone ever thought that, you're welcome.
But I want things to become have expiration dates. I think
that's a reasonable request, though.
Inactivity should... And I think 5 years is a reasonable amount of time.
Yeah. No, that's reasonable. You know
if
what
you
mean?
Haven't touched something in 5 years, sorry, it's gone.
Yeah. Well, that would certainly open up movies. I actually just looked up Soda.com, and I gotta say, I'm disappointed.
What is it now?
It's like...
It was bought by one of them.
No, it's like a publishing thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe they...
It's not fizzy, tasty beverages. It's just...
Really?
Oh, Soda.com, we have these... It's like a very nebulous concept.
It used to
soda.
Be like Pepsi or Coke, I think.
Well, that would be golden for them. know what I mean?
I have my Wi-Fi off.
Like, I'm fucking glad. Like, yeah. Movies.com, I know I keep, like, bringing that up, but it's like, well, it does what it says.
Yeah.
It does what it says. It's not like you're going to be taken to movies.com and then you find out it's, like, for ticketing. It's like, okay, well, I guess that's kind of like movies.
I did, recently, yeah.
What?
Oh, no. There's a... I recently watched a movie.
Oh, you did? Wow, riveting story. Yeah. What movie?
Let me segue. That's my clever segue. it was called Hiro Dreams of Sushi. Hiro is J-I-R-O.
Okay. He's
a Japanese man.
You got me so far.
It's a documentary about a man named Hiro who's in his mid-80s. I think he's 85 or...
Does he aspire to be a sushi maker?
He's been making sushi for, like, since he was, like, a teenager. So he's been making sushi for, like, 70 years, 75 years.
Okay.
Which is a crazy long time.
It is.
And he basically is, like, it's how he knows to exist is to do this. Like, it's his life. It's always been his life. And he's still, okay, like, I guess it takes time to become good at sushi. But he has become, like, meticulous. Like, he's become so good at it, like, that, like, okay, you train with him, and, like, maybe 10 years into training with him, you're allowed to, like, cook the rice or something. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's, like, so crazy. And his sons are in it, and he has I think it's, like, by a subway station in Japan, he has a small restaurant, and it's literally, like, a row of seats at a bar. And they don't serve appetizers.
It's just
they
sushi.
Don't serve anything. They only do sushi.
Not even, but what about water? What about sake?
No, yeah, there's drinks and stuff. But they don't make anything but sushi, and they literally go to the market, and they have people who they have relationships with for, like, 30 years. This is our man, this is our rice man. He gets us the best rice. This is all, he knows rice. He knows more about rice than I will ever know, and I've been making sushi for 70 years. Like, he's, like, a crazy rice man. This guy only knows eel. Huh. He sells eel. His life is eel. Like, we trust him. We have a relationship. And so they get the best ingredients. They get it right from... I mean, it's Japan. They get it right from the market. And they make the... They, like, let stuff become a certain temperature. And when it gets to your plate, he notices if you're left-handed or right-handed and positions it on the plate for you slightly differently. And, like, everything is just very... Like, you have to get a reservation a month in advance, and when you get there, like, they have planned out who sits where, and the women get slightly smaller pieces, or if you're smaller, like, so that you all eat at the same pace. It's, like, so overthought. I can't, I mean, if you see the movie, you'll see how overthought he is on everything.
And you know, I think I'm just, I was actually thinking throughout all this, like, wow, I actually want to try this now.
It's very,
I want to go to Japan just for this.
Yeah, he's very... They're the only restaurant, like, all other Michelin star, 4-star rated restaurants are super exclusive, like, crazy expensive. And this guy's, like, got a subway stop, like,
do you know if Peruta is still around? We have, like, a mutual friend, who is, she's South African, but she is in Japan.
I haven't seen her in, like, a million years.
I might shoot her a message. Maybe she's still online. Because now that I know that is probably the closest person we have to someone in Japan that could try this, I really want to, like, insist this to her. The last thing I remember, the last thing I remember, like, mentioning to her, like, oh, wait a minute, you're in Japan, go to this. And it's like, it was based off of, it was a song was written about this because it's a zoo museum. It's like a very interactive zoo.
Okay.
And it's a guinea pig bridge. And it is... I'm probably actually going to use it as, like, the outro music on this. But, it's a really fucking catchy song. Shout out to Perry Grip on that. Guinea pig bridge. And it was like a Nagasaki animal zoo.
Hmm.
So I'm like, you should go to this. And I just linked her to the music video on that.
Here in Japan... I feel like Japan's, like, a little bit big. Like...
It's big enough to be a country.
Like, I could be, like,
There's
No, well, you know what I mean. Like, someone could say to me, like, hey, you should go see the Grand Canyon tomorrow. Like, and I'll be like, well,
I'm in New York. Well, I mean, like, you would make a day out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those things, like, if you plan to go, if you live where I am and you plan to go to the city, you make a day out of it.
Yeah.
But you could easily go, like, how I do for work every day.
Right.
It just takes a damn long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's one of those, like, have you ever talked with somebody who's just kind of like, oh, we want to see all of America. You better plan out a couple of, like, weeks for that, dude.
I haven't talked to anyone who said that, but...
Yeah, well, yeah. I want to see everything that America has to offer. Yeah, there's a giant nothing in between where you want to go. Maybe you should plan out some time. Can't do it in a week.
I think the trap with most places is that there are landmarks and world-recognized monuments, like the Statue of Liberty, the Empire State Building, the pyramids at Giza, the, you know, Leaning Tower of Pisa. These kinds of things are, like, they're not, like, they've become just, like, photo ops.
Yeah.
And so everybody goes to Times Square... Times Square is pretty...
It's filled with people that just want to take a picture of themselves at the skyscrapers.
If you're not from New York and you go to New York City, a lot of people say, wow, New York is terrible because all they've seen is Times Square, which is terrible.
Yeah, but it's filled with all of you people who want to go to Times Square and be filled with terrible people. Go anywhere else.
And it's so... I mean, it's interesting. It's an interesting thing because... all of these tourists are packing themselves into this spot to experience it, and what they're experiencing are all these ads, which are gargantuan and aimed, and they're there because those people are there, and those people are there because those ads are there, and it's this cycle.
Yeah.
I mean...
like, if you talk to anyone who, like, lives in any of the five boroughs, and you're like, I want to go see New York, they always tell you, don't go to Times Square.
Well, I mean...
do anything else.
People like to... whatever. Go to the top of the Empire State Building and...
like, I know you want that picturesque New York experience, but, like, you can just see any movie that is based in New York and they'll have that for you.
I guess...
see a rom-com that takes place in New York. That's it.
It's gotta be crazy to see those buildings. They're pretty tall and massive.
I guess I'm desensitized to it. But, like, when you were talking about all these monuments that are just, like, there for photo ops, like, do you have any inkling to see Mount Rushmore?
No.
I don't either. I've know what it looks like.
Seeing it in person will not be...
yeah, it won't be any more impressive. You know what I mean? Because, like, I know what it is. I know I've seen it from a lot of different angles. I bet if I was there, I could marvel about how massive it must be. But it's like, that's it.
I could go on a trip and not take any photos.
Yeah, I've done that.
I mean,
people
I would
get
take
pissed
some.
Off.
I would take some just to be cool. But, I mean, and plus you want to have, like, photos you can look back on later in life. But not of Mount Rushmore. I could just Google that, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right?
You can't Google, like, that time
I remember seeing a segment on Last Week Tonight. Like, there's, like, a surprising amount of people seeing Antarctica, and it's, like, ruining the polar ice cap. And he actually, like, made, like, a semi-serious, like, ad campaign about that, like, oh, you want to see the penguins, then just show like a video clip, there, you saw them, now don't come,
please. Yeah.
You want to see the majesty of a frozen barren landscape, there it is, don't come.
The Galapagos Islands, I think, are kind of like, they have precautions against this, like, it's all roped off and the animals are apparently very it's a specific place where there's no predator, they don't have natural predators,
yeah,
so they don't have natural fear of, like, other... so they'll just come, like, to you. Like, they'll just... or they won't care about you.
Yeah.
I don't know. But, anyway.
Well, I mean, like, shit like that, like, I mean, you could see pictures of it, but I think that is definitely more the experience.
Yeah, it's
you
more
have
of
to
an
feel
experience.
The heat, you have to see the animals.
And it's,
it's like, have you ever gone snorkeling?
I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an experience, yeah.
Yeah, it's part of that.
I mean, it's... I think the experience... some of it is... things you wouldn't be able to do at home, or see at home, or taste at home, or just, you know, and some of it is, you went to Costa Rica, and I went to Costa Rica, and we both saw this river, and we both swam by this waterfall, and we both had a bunch of great experiences, but we both, at the same time, had completely different trips, because I met this girl from Britain, you know what I mean? And you met this guy from South Africa, and, like, your tour guide was crazy and, like, almost killed you or something. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
there's stories to be done with it. That's all.
Yeah, and you can't Google, like this super cool guy you met from Germany, like, when you're, like, 20 years from now, when you look back at the photographs of you and these people, you'll remember, like, your experience, and you can't Google that like you can Google Mount Rushmore. That's my...
Yeah. I mean, I might be saying this because I've already been in a couple of places, but it's like, I don't have any, like, desire to travel anymore.
What?
No.
Yeah.
I've been to Ecuador, I've been to China, I've been to Europe. It's like, That's kind of it now.
I really want to go to Turkey. It's crazy to me because I have
You want me to give you a knickknack that I had from Turkey?
No, I want to go there. I want to eat some stuff that's going to make me puke and... I don't know. You know what I mean?
The one that's going to be one of the highlights. Dude, too. I ate this kofta and I totally barfed afterwards. Awesome!
The food, I'm sure, is safe and good. I just mean, like, something that I probably don't like at all. And,
I mean, like...
See some shit. I don't know.
I had a great time in Turkey. Fuck. It's gonna be really... Yeah, no, that's it.
What if I just gave you some trinket and was like, here you go.
Here's Turkey.
You don't have to go now.
Hey, it worked on some people. Some people like that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not saying you don't have to go, but it's just kind of like, I've been. You want something?
I would like to go.
I'll give you one of those evil eyes that I swiped from the Grand Bazaar.
My friend wants to go too, which is like, maybe I'm actually gonna go.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I literally stole something from a place that would cut your hand off if they caught you stealing.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm badass.
Oh, I saw a video of that online.
Wait, did they actually cut their hand?
The fingers, and they don't do them all at once. So the guy, I don't know, he stole a motorcycle apparently. It was on...
Well, that's kind of a big thing.
Live leak video.
I stole a friggin' knickknack.
Oh, it's gotta be crazy, because... You got to put your hand down for them to do it, so you know what you're doing. And then some are gone, and then you have to do it more. And there's like an angry mob around this guy, like...
Yeah, because he stole a fucking motorcycle.
Kicking him, and...
Like, someone probably, like, spent everything they had on that.
Like, I'm sure it could be done in a better way.
No, it couldn't be.
Than, like, a machete and a rock or something.
Oh, wow.
Or whatever it is, a block of wood and a machete.
A block of wood. Yeah, that's slightly better.
I don't want to think about it.
You know what? Let's not. Let's let you think about it. Let's let you, the charming listener, think about it. I was going to go into the other story, but you know what? It's like, here, quick impressions. Bouncy castle in a church graveyard.
Well, I guess you got, if you don't have room, man.
No, yeah. he said he would also put a pop concert there if he had the chance. The pastor.
Oh, the pastor. Because he wants people to... Does it have to do with the graveyard at all, or it's just they just don't have, like, another suitable place?
Just the one person that complained just said, you don't have to be religious to feel upset that a member of your family could be buried under a bouncy castle. And the pastor kind of said, look, these guys have been dead for ages. So has, like, their relatives. Like, no one's remembering them. Okay? Bouncy castle. My only hang up is, why the hell didn't you just do the glass dildo instead? You want to be buried on the ground? No, be a glass dildo.
I don't know, that's a little weird to do that. It's like...
What, bouncy castle?
Yeah, to put it on a graveyard. It's kind of like...
It's very unorthodox, but it's like, well, I guess if you want to bring young kids and their families to a church, it's like, I don't think this is like a permanent fixture. I think it was just like for a fair.
Then again, it's like if we, you know,
bringing the community together for a fun day in May was important. That's what the pastor said.
If you're doing like, imagine if the world kept all grave sites, sacred or something, and
we would have nowhere to put our dead.
There would be no more.
We would literally have like the dead wheelbarrows. You know,
it weirds me out when I drive past. Have you in this? I think it's like when I'm coming from the Bronx or to the Bronx. There's a cemetery. It's like a C. It's like
I remember seeing that all the time, like when I was going from Queens to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
In the shuttle that we had, and it was like it is nothing but graves.
Like you can't see the, you just look out onto a horizon.
It's a sea of dead.
Of tombstones.
Which would have been a very awkward Yellow Submarine movie if it was the Sea of Dead. A sea of holes into the sea of dirt.
Oh my gosh.
Whoa. What, have you seen that movie?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my god, dude. You owe it to yourself.
The Yellow Submarine movie?
Yes, the Yellow Submarine movie. Okay. Like, it's the Beatles. That's all.
Hmm.
It's all. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's fun.
Goofy.
All right.
Okay.
And on that note, we'll leave you with that.
Yes. Yeah, so,
please do dwell on the mental image of someone getting their fingers cut off with machete and a block of wood.
Yeah, and think about eating sushi.
I'm gonna dream of sushi now.
Yeah.
That sounds delicious.
It was okay movie. I mean.
Yeah, it was all right. This is the guy's livelihood. It's fine.
It's kind of
better than Entourage.
This, I don't know. Yeah, it's interesting.
Better than Entourage.
Not too long.
Although I do want to see that new Pixar movie, but I don't know how that's going to stack up to Hero Dreams of Sushi.
Mm. I mean, it's probably a little bit better than the new Jurassic Park movie.
I liked that movie.
I didn't see it.
Oh, it's yourself. Right. Become a cinephile. We'll have a spinoff show. I was thinking about that.
Yeah.
All right. This is Dean and Mike signing out.